Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
When we come to church on Sunday, I know that we all think about two-hour service. And kind of look at the watch, prepare for football game or whatever in the afternoon, go out and enjoy yourself. But you know, I want to change our mentality here. That when we come to church, we should come with the attitude that, God, I want to receive everything that you prepare for me today. I'm going to come and be filled up with your word, with your glory. I want to be changed. It may take 2 hours. Maybe God may take 3 hours. It doesn't matter. We need to change the mentality of the church service is 1.5 or 2 hours, and then we have to hurry home and get out of here. That is the mentality of the world. But God's and heavenly mentality is that we come in and we're going to just soak in. And whatever word of God from the Holy Spirit that want to speak to you, yes, I want to get it. I want to change. I want you to just mold me and change me and correct me and deal with me. You know, we need to come with the attitude like, I'm here to receive from you and to worship you, and I'm here to be changed. Amen. Therefore, don't look at the watch. Don't look at the time too much. Because then instead of focusing on God, you focus on yourself. What you're going to do next. And a lot of time Christians are doing that way, and they don't go anywhere in their life. Amen. So I want to really encourage you that way. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray, Lord, that this teaching will be a blessing to your church, to your people, Father, and to those who listen on the website and through the CD, Father. We pray, Father, that you will anoint all of us by your Holy Spirit to be able to receive the word from God, from heaven, that will change our life forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. In the last few times, I was talking about worship, and I want to continue until the end of the series. We talk about worship 3 or 4 times already, and today I want to continue. Last time we were talking about posture of worship. Before I really go into the subject again, I'd like to read this scripture one more time that you all already know, this scripture. In John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. But the hour is come, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking, everyone say seeking, such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The Bible says God is seeking worshipers. How many people want God's eyes to be on you all the time, seeking after you to bless you? How many people? Amen. So in order to do that, you need to be worshipers. Therefore, before I start this teaching, I want to speak specifically to every single member of the worship team first. I'm sorry to do this in public instead of personally. But I want to say to, because some of you may join worship team later on, or may you may be in a worship team of your care group. But I want to say this. Worship is not a performance. Worship is not that you come up to show how good you can sing, how great you can play guitar, or you play drum, or you can, you know, do whatever up here. Worship is a lifestyle. And worship must come from the spirit. You know, one thing that bothers me is that, as a pastor, is that if I look around and I notice that the worship team members standing like this during the worship time, look around and everyone else is worshiping. I think something wrong. You must be worshipers before you join the worship team. It's not about showing the technique, the ability, but it's about spiritual relationship with God. Therefore, before you develop technicality or the technical part of your worship, you need to develop your life of worship. You need to learn how to really worship God and plug into the presence of God and really learn how to yield and follow the Holy Spirit first. So please develop your lifestyle of worship. Amen. That's one of the reasons our church do not hire professional worshipper around here. You know, some churches, they hire professional worshipper to come up and sing. And then after half an hour, they're all gone and they walk out of the church because they got money already. No, that's not the way we are, because we want to follow the Bible. We need to be worshipers in order to be in the worship team. And in fact, every Christian, listen carefully, every Christian should be a worshipper. Because you want God to seek you. Not only the worship member of the worship team, every Christian should develop the lifestyle that I'm a worshipper. When people see you, look at you, come around you, they can notice something different here. This man is different. This woman is different. Why? Because you are a true worshipper. Amen? Hallelujah. So last time we talked about the physical posture of worship. We can continue that for a while, and I'm going to go into the heart of worship. In Psalm chapter 47, last time we learned that we can sing, we can bow down, we can stand up and kneel down to worship God. Now we look at other scripture in the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 47 verse 1, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. In Psalm chapter 98 verse 8, let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Clapping the hand is also a posture of worship. Let me ask this question. When do you clap? What is the reason that you clap your hand? How many people know? Huh? What is the reason you clap your hand? Because it's cold weather? No. You clap your hand to, number one, you clap for victory. When you see a victory, you clap your hand. Have you ever gone to soccer or football game? And when you see that it's the man touchdown, what happened? You clap your hand of victory. You clap your hand when you have joy, when you rejoice. Amen. Not only that, you clap your hand when you honor somebody. When somebody is very important, walk into the room and that person stand up, you clap your hand. So clapping your hand is a human posture of showing joy, victory, and honor and respect to something. And we do the same thing to God. Actually, it should be even greater way. Amen. We should get more excited, more joyful, and feel the value of victory we have with God more than anything else. So sometimes we can clap hands in the church. Amen. Should we do that? One, two, three. To the Lord. Let's put our hand up to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you imagine when an important person walks into the room, you clap your hand to honor that person? Our God is the God of all gods, and I mean the King of all kings. We should even clap our hand with fullness. I mean, just do it with our heart to God when we come together in a meeting like this. Amen. Not only clap our hands, the Bible talks about dancing. Psalm 149 verse 3, let them praise him, praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. The Bible says in Psalm 150 verse 4, praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Dancing is another way to show to worship God. Why we dance? We dance because we rejoice. That's why when we go to some celebration, people dance. Is that right? Dance to show. I remember when I was a young man, I was a party guy. I and Pastor Da love to go to party. She said, no, okay. Maybe I missed not. She said, not me. I dragged her along with me. Oh, I love to go to party. I was a drummer. I was a professional, like a drummer. So I love to go to party and go out and dance and have fun. Dancing is a sign of joy. Is that right? It's a sign of celebration. That's why when we come to God, when we are so full of joy in our heart, we dance. Amen? So in this church, don't worry, as long as you don't dance in the flesh to show off that, look at me, how beautiful my shape is, how expensive my dress is, and dance to show off, I don't mind that you dance in the church. Amen? You can jump up and down. You can just dance. Look at King David. King David did the same thing. King David danced when the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Can you imagine? King David was the king, the whole of the whole nation. But he was willing to look like a normal person and go and took his clothes off and danced before people in public. Wow, normally people like to keep their dignity. Especially if you have position in the society. You walk around, you need to keep your dignity. Like, you know, I'm not going to lose my dignity in front of people. But King David, look at the Bible say, David wearing a linen ephod danced before the Lord with all his might. Why? He and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. King David was willing to lose his dignity. In fact, Michal was looking down on him and say, oh, this is shameful. You dance in front of your servant, in front of your slave. And King David say, I'm more willing to lose my dignity more than this. King David loved God so much. Therefore, we can dance when we worship. And not only that, when you come and worship God in the church like this, don't be too self-conscious. Don't be too, you know, sometimes people are too self-conscious. Oh, how people are going to look at me? Oh, maybe if I get into worship too deep, my tear will come out and then my makeup will be gone. My mascara, is that called mascara? My mascara will be just come out and the false eyelash may fall off. If I dance too much, my wig may come off. Something like that. So, you are too self-conscious. How am I going to look like? Maybe I should worship God in a very dignified way. No, don't worry about what other people look at you. Amen. It's between you and God. Amen. Do you love God enough to the point that you are not self-conscious anymore, but become God-conscious? You think about God. The focus is not you anyway in worship. Do you know sometimes in the worship service in the church, the worship team is a performer. And that the congregation is the audience. Watching the performer up on the stage. No. Both worship team and the congregation are the one who worship God. And who is the audience? God. God is watching you worshiping Him. You are not the audience. You are the one who worship. So don't be too self-conscious. Amen. If the hairstyle is going to go off a little bit because you cry and you lose your mascara a little bit, that's okay. Our church doesn't care about that much. Amen. So let's say at the same time, I will not be self-conscious. But I will be God's conscious. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 4 and 13. God say like this, I will build you up again and you will be rebuilt. O virgin Israel, mean the church, talking about the church here. Virgin mean just keep ourselves pure before Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, comes back. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. Then the maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I think it's a typo there. I will give them comfort with and joy instead of sorrow. Amen. That's, don't say that, you know, I'm too old to dance. The Bible say here, so clear, young men and old as well. You can dance, you can sing. How many people are old here? Raise your hand up. I'm not. Anyone below 95 years old is still young. That is the definition in our church. I'm safe now. Oh. You know, one time, I was performing the operation, and my assistant, he is a surgeon too, and he is about 60 years old. And I was talking like this. I say, you know, that patient, that 56-year-old man, he is an old man. He is just, you know, he kind of fall apart. My assistant say, what? 56 is old? No! I learned a lesson in America. That's when I first came to America. I say something like that. And I learned a lesson. Ooh, I need to raise up the number a little bit, the word old, to be 95. Amen. Because 95 may not sit in this church anyway. Hallelujah. So you are safe here. I'm not calling you old. But old people can worship God, can dance. Amen. Not only dancing, clapping hands. The Bible says in Psalm 35, verse 27, may those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be exalted. So, sometime in the atmosphere of faith, in the atmosphere of celebration, in the atmosphere of victory, God's people can shout together, not during the sermon right now, okay? In the right atmosphere, don't shout during preaching. But when it's the right atmosphere, you can shout hallelujah. You can shout Jesus. Amen. So we can do that. Shouting is okay. If you don't get used to that, when you go to heaven, you may be in trouble because in heaven they shout too. Amen. People shout to the Lord. Amen. Why don't we practice a little bit here? We're going to shout together Jesus out loud. One. Are you ready? Yes. Can I see your face smile a little bit? One, two, three. Jesus! Amen. That's good. We can shout to the Lord. Amen. So, when you become a Christian, you really love to make your voice before the Lord in victory. In Psalm chapter 47, verse 1, clap your hands, all you nation. Shout to God with cries of joy. How many people cry with joy before? You cry, but cry with joy because God is so good to you. Amen. I know that some of us have, each and every one of us has different kind of manifestation when God show up. Some of us may laugh, you know, unspeakable joy. Some of us may cry, just quiet and cry on the chair. Some of us may shake. Some of us may fall down, whatever. God, when you come into the presence of God, it's okay to shout. It's okay to cry with joy. Now, look at another one. What else that we can use to worship God? The Bible says in Psalm 150 verses 3 to 6, praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So in other words, we can use musical instrument. If you don't have musical instrument, you can knock on. We bring a sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. You can use anything around you. Jesus said that if they don't praise me, the stone will praise me. So we can use tambourine, we can use guitar, we can use anything to make music for the Lord. Amen. So God doesn't look at just expensive musical instrument. Anything that comes from your heart, you can worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So using musical instrument is good. Even King David did the same thing in 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 5. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord. I like that word, with all their might. Wow. Can God say the same thing to our church? They worship with all their might. Huh? Let me see one more time. Let us shout Jesus. Let's stand up. Let's say, praise the Lord and hallelujah. Okay, with all our might. Okay, don't do like this. This is not with all your might. How do you with all your might? You need to show you in your action. Okay, I'm going to watch that you do with all your might or not. Okay, with all your might. I want to see from your face, from your facial expression, from your body language. Amen. With all your might. Okay? Don't be shy. Don't be reserved. God doesn't want you to be reserved. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? And don't do this ritualistically. You do it and you speak. Just close your eyes and look at heaven and see God sitting on the throne and you just speak to Him that praise the Lord and hallelujah. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Amen. Praise the Lord. Very good. Good job. Please be seated. Amen. We need to do like that. We need to do everything with all our might. Amen. Because we fall in love with God. Because God is a good God. His love endures forever. Amen. Not only that we can use musical instrument, we shout, we sing with joy, we can dance. Not only that, we can sing new songs to the Lord. Which means that we sing songs that have never been composed before. It means that the song that just come out from your heart at that moment, if you are Japanese, you are not good in English, you can sing in Japanese. If you are a speaking Tagalog, you can sing in that language. Whatever language that you can sing from your heart. And actually, it's more meaningful to God than just singing from a book. Can you imagine if I go to Pastor Da, my wife, people who listen to CD will know this is my wife, okay? And I come with a piece of paper and read to her, Da, you're so beautiful. I love you. Paul. You're so beautiful. To you, the most beautiful woman in the whole world. I love you so much. You mean everything to me. I cannot live without you. It's all written in the paper. Somebody wrote it for me. You think how she feel? Maybe a little bit. I can maybe believe just a little bit. But if I come to her without a piece of paper, and I come and look at her eyes, and I say, Da, the longer I know you, the more I love you. If I have done anything wrong, could you please forgive me? Let's start again. I love you. I'm so happy to marry you and live with you for all these years. You're wonderful. You have done so much for me. I cannot live without you. Is that right? It's different. But now we change it to the song. So you just say like that into the song. I'm not a good singer. That's why I cannot do that right now. Maybe somebody else can sing like that. Amen. So we can sing new songs to the Lord. Maybe you can do in your car, in your private worship time or devotion time. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 40 verse 3, He put a new song in my mouth. A hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You know, when you really get into the high worship, that to the point that you can really sing from the Holy Spirit, sing to God, actually, the non-believers will start to be amazed and they will really come and fear the Lord. We need to bring our church. I love worship. That's why I never stop the worship team to cut it short. Because I want to bring the whole congregation to the high level of worship, to the point that everyone just soak into the presence of God and worship God together. Amen. Psalm 96 verse 1 say, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Psalm 98 verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. You agree that God has done marvelous things for us? Amen. Oh, I cannot thank God enough. He is so good to me. Amen. Oh, God, fill our mouth with good things. God loves us so much. We can sing to the Lord. We just love Him. Amen. One last thing about the posture of worship is something that people don't talk much in the church. It's falling prostrate in the presence of God. I know that we get used to movie. We get used to media that you see that the church is like just people come and sit on the chair, listening to worship, maybe sing a few hymns, sit down and listen to sermon for half an hour and everyone goes home. That is the picture of church in the Western country or in the movie or in the TV. And we all follow that pattern. That worship means come in, sing a few songs, giving love offering, giving offering, and listen to sermon half an hour and go home. But if you look in the Bible, you look in the Old and the New Testament, you can see that when God's people really come into the presence of God and meet Him and really worship Him, it's more than just what we see in the conventional or traditional church nowadays. It's more than that. And I don't want to follow tradition. I want to follow the Bible. Look at what happened in the Bible here. When people meet God, when people come into the presence of God. Look at Genesis chapter 17 verses 1 to 3. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. You see, God called all of us to be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face. Wow. Abram coming to the presence of God. He did not just sit on a chair and kind of talk to God like this, with his one leg on another knee and click and just shaking his leg and say, God, what you say? Okay, tell me more. No, he didn't sit like this. He fell to the ground. You see, he fell on the ground. So I know that a lot of people don't understand this and don't get used to people fall to the ground in the presence of God. You know, when people come to be prayed for or when people come and worship, sometimes God just knocks them down by the power of God, fall under the power. But sometimes we just voluntarily fall to the ground to show that God is much bigger than me. I surrender to you. And I'm going to go on to teach about the heart of worship in a minute here. In the whole Old Testament and even in the New Testament, when people come in encounter with God, they fall to the ground. Amen. Nothing wrong about it. Don't be too negative. Don't be too critical about falling to the ground. Actually, it's a good culture that people come to God and willing to lie down on the ground and say, God, I am nothing. I'm just a human being. You are the great God. Amen. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 9 verse 24. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. My dear brother and sister, the Bible promises that when two or three gather together in His name, He will be in the midst of them. You think Jesus is standing here? I believe so. I believe the Spirit of Lord Jesus Christ is here in this room right now. By your faith, you believe Jesus is here because He promises that. The Bible says God will enthrone the presence of His people. In other words, when we really worship God together, God show up there. So is it biblical to fall on the ground, fall on your face, or fall on your back, or whatever. Is it biblical? Yes, it is biblical. Numbers chapter 20, verse 6. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. My dear brother and sister, if you want the glory of God come into our midst deeper and thicker, we need to learn how to surrender to God. Amen. To fall to the ground will usher, to show submission, to show surrender, to show this desperation, will bring the presence of God even more than before, thicker than before. And I want to encourage you, when the presence of God show up, demons cannot be there. When the presence of God show up, sickness cannot be there. When the presence of God show up, poverty cannot be there. When the presence of God show up, weakness cannot be there, but strength will be there. When the presence of God show up, foolishness cannot be there, but the wisdom of God will come. When the presence of God show up, depression cannot be there, but the joy of God will show up. When the presence of God show up, defeat cannot be there, but victory will come with Him. God has every good things for you. God has everything that you need. The key is welcome the glory and the presence of God through worship, by surrendering. Amen. I give you example. Last Friday night, this past Friday, we have a prayer meeting. I came in with sore throat and some fever. I came here, I start to worship God, and I just plug into the presence of God. When I went home, gone. Cannot be on my body, because I welcome the tangible presence of God into my life, and the sickness have to be gone. Amen. If the presence of God show up, you will not look old easily. You look young all the time. You look younger than age. Amen. You look healthy. You become healthy. This is by faith. So that's why don't try to, you know, think too much about this thing. Just come with faith and just come and worship God, and don't be too self-conscious. If God wants you to lie down during worship, go ahead. I don't mind in this church. If you feel the presence of God is so heavy and you need to lie down, it's okay in this church. Amen. Joshua, look at Joshua chapter 5 verses 13 to 14. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold a man, theophany, God show up, stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. Falling to the ground is a form of worship too. It's nothing wrong about that. It's biblical, and God loves it. God see that you surrender. God see that you're desperate enough to come to Him and show your humility before Him. God loves the humble. God gives grace to the humble. How many people want the grace of God in your life? How many people want the favor of God? If you want the favor of God, be humble. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 38 to 39. Then the fire of the Lord. What? That would be fun, huh? One day the fire of God show up here. I mean the tangible fire. You see the fire come out into the room here. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Amen. When God show up, everyone in that place will say, "The Lord, He is God. He is God." Is that wonderful? Yes. That if everyone come to our meeting, even people who don't know Jesus, and they see the presence of God show up, they will say the same thing. That the Lord, He is God.
God. He is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible also say in 1 Corinthians that when God show up, what happened? Even non-believer will fall on their face and realize that our God is real. So we need to worship God and bring the presence of God into the house of God. We need to be willing to do anything to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now I finish with the posture of worship. You learn already? Singing, dancing, lifting up hand, kneeling down, bowing down, falling to the ground, dancing, cry with joy, shout with joy. All these things are biblical. Amen. We will do that in the church. Is it okay to do in the church? Is it okay to do in the care group? Yes. Amen. Now let's look at the heart of worship. We worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit, mean from the heart here. What is the real heart of worship? Look at Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Your members, what is your members? Your whole body. Your hairs, your nose, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your livers, your kidney, your hands, your fingers, your leg, your knee, everything, your members as instruments of righteousness to God. In other words, God is saying this. When you want to make him happy, when you want to make him smile, you offer your whole life to be the instrument of righteousness. It's about surrender. You come to the end of yourself. You surrender to God. The true worship is involved one word, surrender. I know that the word surrender is very negative in this society, especially in a society with the competitive culture. The word surrender usually make you have the image of somebody is defeated in the battle, or you yield to a stronger enemy. The word surrender, you see the picture of a captured criminal who yield to the authority, like police officer. So a lot of time when we talk about surrender in the church, people may have a different and negative idea. In our culture today, the word surrender is unacceptable. You like the word victory, conquering, what else? Controlling or ruling, and what else that you like to hear? The word like I have victory over people. I can rule over people. But you don't like the word like yielding, submitting, obeying, and surrendering. But my dear brother and sister, we surrender to God because God is love. Amen. We surrender to him because he loves us. The Bible said because he first loved us. If you read the book of Romans, from the first chapter to chapter 12, you can see that Paul was talking about the grace of God. He is not a God of condemnation. He loves you. He wants to help you. He come to save you from sin. Romans chapter 8 verse 5 say that God demonstrated his own love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He kept talking and talking and talking about the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God. And by chapter 12, this is the conclusion. This is the conclusion by chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. It's a spiritual in NIV called it's a spiritual act of worship. The spiritual act of worship is surrender your whole life to the mighty hand of God. If God say right, you say right. If God say turn left, you turn left. You surrender to God. That's why I say a while ago to the worship team member that it's not about performing your musical ability on the stage. It's not about producing sound from the musical instrument here. Worship starts from your heart that you surrender your life totally to God. You present your body as a living sacrifice. You say, yes, God. Yes, God. You don't say no to God. Amen. That is a true worship. And you can live like that 24/7. You don't need to come to church to worship God. You don't need to be in the church service to worship God. You can live like that 24/7. And you're going to live in the bubble of the power and the love of God all day long. The devil cannot step in your house because you live such a kind of life. The life of surrendering. Amen. The Bible used different terms that has the same meaning as surrender, such as consecration, making Jesus your Lord, taking up your cross, dying to yourself, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Let me ask this question to you. Will surrendering to God 95% be enough? How much God wants you to surrender? 100%, not 95%. So when we talk about worship, means surrender your life to God 100%, every single day. Die to yourself. Amen. Now, I want to talk about three things that block you from surrendering to God. I may talk about it only one today and quit. There are three things that stop you from surrendering to God. Number one, fear. You fear that if I surrender, I may lose something. I may not lose control of my life. Two, pride. Big issue here. Especially men. You notice one thing? It's easier for women, to really surrender and to say yes to God than men. Men has a problem with pride. Oh, I can do it. Oh, I run my own life. I know what to do. God, shut your mouth. Don't tell me. Pride. Three. What is number three? Lack of knowledge and confusion. When people are confused, they don't know the truth, they cannot surrender to God. So let's look at the first one, fear, and I will end here. Amen. Fear. Why people live in fear? Why you cannot surrender to God? Why you fear? Are so fearful of surrendering to God. I want to tell you the real reason that people fear, live in fear, because they don't understand love. The Bible says, love casts out all fear. And who is love? God. If you know God, if you know who God is, that God is love, and He never want to give you any bad things. He want to save you. He want to bless you. He want to do good things to you. I don't mean that you will not face hardship, because sometimes He give you a homework to grow up by giving you a hardship. But the outcome is good. If you know that God is love, love casts out all fear. You don't need to live in fear. You can trust God fully. Amen. Can you trust God? If you cannot trust God, you're going to live in fear all the time. Oh, what's going to happen next? Oh, God, is it going to be okay? Oh, God, if I obey you to do that, what's going to happen to me? Oh, God, you call me to go to Taipei to pastor a church. But how can I survive there? Maybe I cannot do it. People who think this way, living in fear, they don't trust God. Is that right? But if you know that God loves you, you know that God has good plan for you, you will not fear anymore. I want to read many scripture to show you that God loves you. Can I do that now to end this preaching? I'm going to read many scripture. How much God loves you. Do you know how much God loves you? I'll show you at the end. Psalm 145 verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over His work. Or His work. Another word. God says in the Bible hundreds of times that I love you. You need to follow God's example. You need to tell people around you that I love you. Don't keep it in your heart, but speak it. When you meet each other, I love you. We love you. Tell your wife, I love you. Okay, go now. Husband, say I love you. Huh? You did. Okay. Those who are not married, be careful. Don't take this opportunity to tell a lady around you. Okay? God say all the time, I loved you. He confirmed it. He confirmed it again and again and again that He loved you. Psalm 139 verse 3. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. In other words, God, you have never been out of His sight. He watch you over you all the time. Amen. This is how much God loved you. Look at another one in Psalm 139. I read for you. Is it not in the computer there? Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. The thoughts of God toward you. He think about you. How much He think about you? Let me tell you how much. Verse 18. If it should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Wow. He think about you more than the number of the sand of the whole earth. Wow. How many sand? Can you count the sand in the whole earth? You cannot count. He think about you all the time. You are in His mind. That's how much He loved you. Why you have to live in fear? He loved you. He cared for you. Amen. Look at Matthew 10:30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. In other words, He cares about every detail of your life. Amen. Where you're going to go to school, who you're going to marry to, what house you're going to buy, how you're going to play golf, where you're going to go for vacation. Every detail, not just about ministry. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God loved you so much that He gave you all things that you can enjoy. He gave you MP3. He gave you, what is that from that kid like to wear? I'm sorry. iPod. He gave you Sidekick. He gave you computer. He gave you the golf club. He gave you time to go to vacation. He gave you cars. He gave you friends. He gave you houses. He gave you all things that you can enjoy. How much God loved you. He loved you so much. Is that right? Should we trust Him? We should trust Him. Look at Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Wow. God has the best plan for your life. The plan for the future. Once you step into the kingdom of God, you begin a new purpose, a new plan that God has for you. In Psalm chapter 86 verse 5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. Abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. God loved you so much that He always forgives you no matter how many times you fall down. Amen. Psalm 145 verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. God is so full of mercy. Can we trust Him? Should we quit being fearful? Should we trust Him? Can we surrender to this kind of God? Our God is not a big giant come in with a big stick and hit your head. He's a loving God. Should we surrender to this kind of master? I will. And the best picture of how much God loved you is this picture. Jesus stretched out his arm on the cross, nailed on the cross, full, like this. And he's telling you like this, I love you this much. You know, by the anatomy of the shoulder, you can stretch so much. You cannot go backward like that. This is how much you can stretch. This is God tell you, I love you this much. I died on the cross to pay for your sin, so that you can have a new life and have it more abundantly. Amen. His arms were stretched, outstretched on the cross. But our God doesn't break our will. God doesn't coerce us. God doesn't force us to follow him or to surrender to him. You need to make your own choice. I beg you today to surrender to God in every area of your life. God is a lover. God is a liberator. He doesn't want to put you in bondage. He wants to set you free. The more you surrender to God, the more freedom you have. Amen. You are not in chain, but you have freedom. God is not a big giant trying to kill you. He is a savior. He's not a boss that point finger and tell you what to do. He is your brother. He is not a dictator, but he is your friend. And the God that we talk about here loves you so much. Can we surrender to him? I want to encourage all of you to start worshiping God from today on. Just surrender your plan, your life, your body, everything in your life to God. And say, God, you can use me. Let your will be done. Your kingdom come in my life. That is true worship. True worship is not just coming to church on Sunday, but living a life 24/7, surrendering your body to God, your mind to God. Amen. Before the end of this session, this teaching, I wonder anyone in this room want to give your life to this God, to the God that loves you, care for you, take care of every detail of your life. If you would like to do that, I'd like to pray with you. Amen. If you say, God, I have come to church, this church, for many times, but I never walk out to give my life to God in a public, publicly, and say, God, I am a Christian. I proclaim that today I want to give my life to you and surrender to you. This is a good time to do that. Amen. Or some of you might have been a Christian for quite a while, but you kind of walk away from God in your heart. Your body, maybe physically you are here, but your heart, you begin to do your own things. You rebel against God. You have all kind of reason and rationale to argue with God. I'm going to do this way. God, I think it's okay. God say, walk with me and be blameless. Surrender to God. These two group of people, I'd like to pray with you now. You want to give your life back to God. And you say, God, I want to surrender to you. I have been walking away from you. Come back to God. Could you please come out here? And we pray. If you want to give your life to Jesus, come out here. Some of you here, walk away. And you say, God, I come back to you today. Don't be shy, come here. Surrender. I surrender all. Anyone else want to give your life to Jesus? This is a holy time. This is important time. Come out here. If you want to give your life, some of you may think that you are Christian, but you never really proclaim that you are Christian in public. This is a good time. to do it. Go ahead and sing. Anyone else come out? Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.